All right, you guys have got a lot to add, I'm sure, here, because I probably really didn't cover it very well. Well, what do you say, Mike?
Well, whatever you just said last, I didn't hear because I was talking to Kevin. He wants to say something before we get done with the meeting, but we'll give people a chance to respond to the message before we put him on.
Right, well, wait till after we turn the recording off then.
Okay.
I think it's interesting that Matthew 24, 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east, basically is going to happen fast, going to come quickly.
Yes.
Because that's the way lightning comes.
Yes, the speed of light is the fastest thing that man has ever been able to measure, I guess.
As far as the statement of some standing here won't taste of death before they see the kingdom coming, that not only was happening then, but it's happening right now today in all of us. God is secretly coming into our life as we feed on him and as we grow spiritually. That's the kingdom of God, and it's been coming and is coming, and finally it's gonna pop up in full glory, in these sons of man, sons of God, I mean, that are on the earth today. And then all this is be gonna start happening. And so the kingdom of God has been coming all this time. It talks about in the days of Noah that God was patiently waiting, waiting, waiting for anyone and everyone that would believe in him and come to the knowledge of him. And but finally time was up when the flood came, and there wasn't too many at that particular time that had really got the kingdom of God inside themselves. And so again now he's been waiting patiently for 2,000 years. Nobody's going to be able to say he never gave us time. Every one of us has our 80, 90, 100 years or whatever we have on this earth. If we don't find God and love God and serve God within that amount of time, I would say we're not gonna. So he's giving us all, there's a scripture that talks about God is not slack as man thinks slack, but he's wishes that no one perishes. So he's waiting for us. He's calling us, he's blessing us, he's giving us every opportunity that there could possibly be. So are we going to really grab a hold of it? I hope we will. I know I sure want to be in that crowd, and I believe you do too. So and I agree that even though we can't predict the exact time, it says we'll know the season. And I believe we're seeing the season right now, and I believe we're seeing the signs in the earth that it's getting closer and closer. So I don't think it's too far off.
Mike, that particular coming that you were speaking of, that some won't see his death or see death, was the coming of Jesus being crucified and rising again into his kingdom. That particular coming was not parousia they were talking about. And what he was talking about there is he knew that Judas was not going to see that. He was going to die before that.
Yes, and Howard, that would include Pentecost too. Yeah. His death, resurrection, and Pentecost, the whole thing that brought in the fullness of our salvation, and not only our salvation by the blood, but the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, I'm sorry, I should have included that.
Well, many of our brethren are very quiet today.
What's it mean when it's saying that we're not children of the darkness, but we're children of the light in Thessalonians?
Can I throw one thing out there first before you answer? The spiritual meaning of darkness and light. The spiritual meaning of darkness is ignorance, and the spiritual meaning of light is understanding. So when it says we're not children of the darkness but of the light, it means we're not ignorant. We're understanding what the truth is. We're understanding what's going on in this earth, who God is, what he is, what's going to happen. That's what it means to me.
Brother Opie, you're very quiet today.
Yeah, but he'll say amen at the end.
Brother Mark, there's three things with parousia. But first, the terminology parousia was not a word that was unknown to the Middle East. The Egyptians used it as a word describing the arrival of the king with all of his entourage, and you know, so it would describe the coming of the Lord with his angels in great glory, perhaps trumpets and et cetera, going on. But there's three things that have to happen before the parousia. So we can kind of know where we are in time. And it's interesting that we're pretty close with these items. One, the gospel has to be preached throughout the whole earth. Now, you could look at that from the perspective of, oh, has to hear the gospel. Well, how is that going to happen when you have the issue of people come and people go, you know, people are born and people die. So, but the situation would be that, you know, the word of God has been
printed. Are you guys hearing Paul?
Are you able to hear Paul? What he said?
Yes, we're hearing him.
Yeah, so the word of God has been translated into all the languages of the earth. So, you know, this is a part of the gospel getting out to every nation. secondly, you have the falling away, you know, and we're seeing right now this great falling away among the churches and even among the peoples of the earth. They're falling away from the things of God, and particularly you see in the arena of society where it is today, with all the hatred of God, you know, with the alphabet community and all that they're doing. In fact, just look at, I don't know how many of you saw the news with regards to, and I'm glad that I didn't see it, somebody just told me about it, but the opening of the Olympic ceremony. And I would not recommend that you watch the Olympics. It's the filthiest abomination going on the face of the planet. You're supporting a great deal of darkness there, if that's, you know, if you participate in those things. And their opening was very anti-God, from what I understand. They had the display of the Last Supper with some folks and of the alphabet persuasion, posing as the apostles at the Last Supper. And so you can only imagine what Jesus was. So that's part of the great falling away, the hatred of the things of God. And the third, and it's interesting, you know, you guys have been talking about threes, things in threes. The third thing is that great apostasy, the apostasy has to come upon the church. And so we see apostasies rising up more and more in the church, strange doctrines. We were just talking last night about the fact that some of these old line churches have ordained individuals that ought not to be ordained. And I don't need to mention, you know, what persuasion they are. I'm sure that as adults who are of understanding, you know what I'm talking about. And so those are the things that come before the parousia. And so, you know, it behooves us as the virgins to make sure that we're ready, that we're part of the wise virgins, that we have our vessel with us and have it filled with oil, because indeed the midnight cry, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh," could be soon upon us, and we want to be sure that we're ready. You know, so I just would encourage you, you know, I really appreciate the going into the depth of this parousia. There's you know, it's a word. It's only mentioned in the New Testament 24 times. So it's not a, you know, it doesn't have to be. You can get through it pretty easily. But there's a lot there for us to consider and to lay hold of, and to ask the Lord, what do I need to be doing to be sure that I am aware of the coming of the King, and so that when He comes, I will be ready. Now, obviously, we really want to be among that company where the secret coming comes, you know, where He comes within His church. And in order to do that, we have to walk by the Spirit and in the Spirit and in the light, as Patty was asking, with regards to light and darkness. And it takes a concerted effort on our part to keep our hearts and minds pure, and to be continually marshaling our thoughts, as it were, throughout the day. And when we find a situation that we've gone, oops, you know, we've made a mistake, we've offended somebody, or we've done something out of the Spirit, we need to quickly repent. When we recognize, we need to say, Lord, I don't want that thing in me any longer. I want to be cured of that habitual Davis. That's me, okay? I want to be cured of the habitual Davis. I want that that old man put down. And these are the things that we need to be involved in our walk with the Lord right now. So, I appreciate the reminders of these things of Scripture. You know, you might think, oh boy, this is pretty plodding along that we go through these things. But it's imperative that we understand what the Word of God says in a very clear manner and fashion, that we have no doubt, so that when the time comes and somebody challenges us with regards to the second coming of the Lord, we will have the answer, as the Scripture says, be ready, you know, in season and out of season, to give the reason for your hope and to be able to defend the Word of God when necessary. So thank you, brethren, for allowing me to be with you today and to just share this encouragement to press on, because we need one another. You know, we need one another in this day and hour, and it's we haven't seen anything yet. We have not seen anything yet with regards to the strength of the darkness is going to be coming out against us. And don't think that there's a one of us that will be passed over. Each one of us is going to have to give an account. And each one of us is going to be challenged, I believe, in our lifetime with regards to the things of the gospel of the kingdom, because it's not a message that's a popular message. It's not a message that people readily receive. And because it challenges them, you know, they get a little squirmy with regards to when you talk about righteousness, when you talk about walking in peace and in joy, in the righteousness of the Holy Ghost. You know, there's a lot of Christians, they don't want to hear it. It's just, oh, I got born again, I'm saved, I'm filled with the Spirit. And they never even had that infilling of the Holy Spirit. They've not gone on to baptism into Christ. And so, you know, it's going to be a challenge for us in these days that are before us. So take heart and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, we are glad that Paul and Pavlina and their son Christopher can be with us. We've seen Paul's face, but Pavlina and Chris are going to have to get in front of that camera so you can see who they actually are.
I forget it.
So you can either come over to my camera or over to Paul so we can see who Pavlina really is. And oh, she's coming over to my camera, looks like. All right, there's Pavlina, Brother Paul's wife. We're so glad she can be with us.
I'm glad I can be here.
Howard, have you ever seen her face to face?
No, I haven't seen you, Howard, either. But I know your voice.
Let me turn the recording off here. We're getting into personal stuff. Hold on. Where is it? Right here. Stop recording. Okay.